everybody.
Hi, guys.
Wow, this is
Hello.
So low.
Okay, we're going to go ahead and get started. If everyone can find a seat, get settled. Thank you guys so much for coming. We're so glad that you're here. This is a really special night. This is our first kickoff for Woven, and we're so, so glad that y'all came. This is really fun. I'm Meg McCrory.
And I'm Dana Douthit.
Yes, and we're going to introduce our team here in a minute, but just are so excited for y'all to be a part. We want this to just be a big, deep breath, just for you to get to rest and enjoy. We want to keep it casual, grab a bite as you'd like, but we're just glad that you guys are here.
Yep. Do you want to pray for us
before
we get
started? So we're going to pray, and then we'll introduce you to our team.
Yep.
Lord, we just thank you for tonight. I thank you for the hearts of each and every woman in this room. And we know that with a room this size, there's just a lot that we bring in as we come across the threshold. And I just ask right now that even just our mind's eye, that we would just picture the cross and that we would come and just lay our burdens down. Would you help just give us a big, deep breath, and that the women in this room would look around and that they would feel seen and they would feel loved? I pray, Lord, that you would just protect us from distractions and help us just to rest and trust that our kids are okay and we get to just be present. I pray that you would help us to be fully present tonight. Lord, help us to connect and to be grounded in your word and to ultimately glorify you in our time together. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Okay, so we're going to make our team stand up just so you guys all know who they are, because they are fantastic, and like most everybody in this room, worked all day, got here, got themselves rallied. So I just want to introduce them to you because they are so important for us to do any of the stuff we've done. So obviously that's my family and Meg's family first, and then other team people stand up when I introduce you. So then we have Missy and Larissa. You can go to the next slide. And then we have Audrey and Lindsay.
Yay!
Woo-woo! Thank you, thank you. And then Amanda and Natalie. Thank you. And then Amy, who's in the back. Thank you.
Amy and Robin are our staffers that are just so supportive of this work and so excited. So y'all just got to see our leadership team. These are just the women that have been a part of Watermark for a while that just said, hey, we believe in this. We want to throw in. We want to be a part of it. What does this look like? So we're so grateful for all the ways that they're helping serve in this ministry.
Yep, we are. Okay, so why a rally? Just to kind of give you guys the full picture of what to expect tonight. This is our first event, and some of you are coming really enthusiastic and energized for where you're at. Others of you are coming maybe more defeated, maybe burnt out. We are entering the end of school season. If you have school-aged children, I'm definitely there. Maybe lonely, maybe you don't have a lot of working mom friends, maybe stressed, lost, alone, all of those. We want all of those here tonight. And just the reason we chose Rally is just, I love the idea of this, to bring in to order again, gather and organize or inspire anew, come together again in order to continue fighting after a defeat or a dispersion. And that's just what we want to do tonight. We want to encourage you. We want to come together and just send you out refreshed. So we're going to explain our ministry to you, just so you know. If you've seen Woven, people might be like, what is that? Now we have 100 ambassadors to know what Woven means. Just a little bit about what the Bible says about work. And then we'll have some table discussion. And then we have a panel that I'm so excited about that you guys can ask questions. So we will have, can you put that, the text number up real fast, just so I don't forget this? Okay, put this in your phone right now. We really want you to ask questions. Like, it makes it so much more personal to you if you guys ask questions. It's anonymous. So just put this number down. Mm-hmm. We'll put it up there again, but just so you have it. So if we're talking and you think of questions, you have the number. Okay.
Okay. So with that, let's talk about what Woven is. We've gotten a lot of questions around that. So we've gotten to spend some time with Square One moms, or maybe you've been on the Facebook group, or maybe you came to a panel we did. I saw one girl, I know that some of y'all came to the panel we did at the Collective a couple of years ago. But in short, really, and I'm going to read some of this, you guys can see it on the screen, but really this ministry is to build connections with working moms at Watermark, so that's like the key part, but also to provide equipping tools for other ministries to better reach working moms. So we know that there's not like a one-stop shop at Watermark, right? So women come in and get connected in all different ways, and so we want to be able to say, hey, let's gather and connect in a space like this, but also if you're a part of a different ministry and you know a mom that doesn't know other working moms are struggling, we want to be a resource to those other ministries. So I mentioned Square One, that's one ministry that we've been able to help equip those leaders and meet with those women and just to help them know of some of the resources that we want to provide and just to be able to be a connecting point for women that want to meet. So our mission in this is that Watermark would be the church for gospel-centered working moms that are grounded in God's word and are cared for well. And our vision is a church where working moms are effectively woven into the body, hence the name Woven. But also that's women's brains, right? It's all just woven together, right? So we want to be woven into the body and where you also just feel seen and equipped and deployed to live on mission. So we know whether it's you can't go to a weekday ministry, we want you to feel like, hey, there's another way that you're able to connect and to be seen and equipped in your life. And so a couple of different ways that we want to do that. We want to invite and support working moms to connect with each other, to equip and train encouraging working moms just throughout the body, the larger body. And then, as I mentioned, to equip ministries at Watermark on how to reach, shepherd, and serve working moms. And then just to support these ministries ongoing and to be a resource. So Square One can say, hey, here's a working mom. Would somebody go to coffee with her? That's a part of the leadership team is we want to be available to say, hey, let's get one-on-one time together. What are the specifics of your situation? How can I help encourage and spur you on in the stage that you're in? Just a couple stats that you may not know that were really interesting when we were working on the startings of the ministry. One is, as it relates to Square One, more than half of Square One participants will work outside of the home in some capacity. And that's shocking to see, that more and more women in our context around Dallas either have to work just because of the state of our economy. Some of y'all may be like, yeah, that's me. but it is a growing number, and there's a growing need. And that there is a growing number on our Facebook page, too, almost 700 women that are a part of that Facebook page. Please feel free to share that with women that you may know. And then across our city, 30% of households are female-headed, and that represents 53% of households living in poverty. So we just want women to feel like, hey, wherever you are, if you're working because you have to or you're working because you want to, that there is a place for you and that you are seen and cared for. And we want that to be available to women that are part of the body of Watermark, but certainly the larger Dallas community. So be thinking about that in the back of your mind if you may know other friends. And then 1 in 5 Christian working moms are not attending church right now. Now, that's a stat that's a year old from a Barna study, but we do just see that church attendance is on the decline. And usually the women are historically the ones that are saying, hey, let's go to church. Let's be a part of that. And that helps lead the family that direction. So, man, we know that there's such a need to be able to reach moms, for them to know, hey, your voice and your heart matters to your family, certainly to the Lord, and to just the larger body that you get to be a part of. So as we think about what the Bible says around work, a lot of these verses that you see on the screen all point to this idea of what God says about work. If you have not read the book, Every Good Endeavor by Tim Keller, it's an excellent one, just helping to ground us of what is work, that it's actually a really good thing. Back in Genesis, we see God demonstrate that, where God is a gardener. Later on in the Bible, we see where Jesus was a carpenter, that he worked, and the body has seen work and ordains work to be a very good thing. And as his image bearers, mankind was designed to work. God has given us each individual talents and strengths to use inside the home, absolutely. But for some of us, that's, hey, let's use those outside of the home, even if that's just for a season. And there's dignity in work. There's beauty in it. If our role really is to, God said, for man to maintain the earth and subdue it, as it talks about in Genesis, like we want to be a part of it and get to be a part of that. And the command to work pertains to men and women. It's not just for man, but God has given us as women specific gifts that we can use and to help our world to look more like Christ and to help build the kingdom.
Love it. And on top of that, there are just some really amazing examples of women in the Bible and the work that they did. And this is just to refresh, because this is just fun to look at and be inspired by these examples. In Exodus, the midwives who saved the Hebrew babies, including Moses, and then raised Moses. In Judges, Deborah, God's warrior and judge of Israel. 1 Samuel 25, Abigail, who spared her family through poison wisdom. And then in the New Testament, in Acts 16 with Lydia, the prominent business owner who generously supported Paul and Silas and helped start the first church. And then Acts 18, Priscilla, the tent-making theologian and co-laborer with her husband and Paul. And then, of course, Proverbs 31 woman, who's described as hardworking, full of strength and dignity, and respected by her family.
Yeah. So with all of these examples, and we could go through a ton of scripture, right? But just for the sake of time, we know that scripture is not prescriptive as it relates to work. But it does give, there's a sense of freedom that is there, right? But we also know that for those of us that are married in the room, that we want to, as Ephesians 5 talks about, that we want to submit ourselves to our husband and as if we're submitting to the Lord, and that the husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church. And so we know within that we want there to be peace within the home, it to be a unified decision. Again, for those that are of us that are married, that is something that is very direct in how the Lord speaks to the unity between a husband and a wife. And that there is freedom for personal conviction, specifically in Deuteronomy, and how it talks about work and what that may look like, that there's a season for everything, right? That there may be a season of working, there may be a season of going part-time or staying home. And so a resource that some of you all may have grabbed, and we've got some more copies at the back, but just for you to know as an example of a tool, is what we're calling this decision-making guide for women. And this is something that can be used really throughout the year. And we can get more copies, but Audrey's got some back here at the back. If you want one, raise your hand. She can pass it to you. But this is something that Dana put together. It's excellent. It really highlights with scripture this idea of, hey, are my hands open? And we would recommend it be something that you go through with yourself, with your spouse, with your community group, or just wise counsel when you're in that season where you feel like God's shifting things, or you're looking at, hey, maybe we need to work a different plan here. He's preparing me for a new season. This is a great resource to be able to go through or to point other friends to, just to be able to help think through and process through that really big decision.
Yeah, I mean, we just, for example of this, just talked through this, my husband and I, and the discussion out of it was that our kids are doing too much activities. So it really wasn't even having to do with work, but just the process of it, because we're both going to work. We both enjoy it, we both need to, but it was not working. Our family was not thriving. And so just having that conversation of things that we can change, and, you know, everything's a season. And I think that is the biggest piece of this and why we say yearly, for whether you work, stay home, part-time, full-time, home, remote, whatever, that all of it is a season of our lives. And as we all know as mothers, how fast things change, how quickly our kids change. You'll be in the diapers, and now you're where I'm in elementary school, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I thought this would be easier, and it's not. But it's a different kind of hard. So just remembering to process it and know that, like, okay, this might be a hard season. It's not gonna be for forever. So definitely recommend grabbing that if you guys haven't gotten one yet. Okay, so this is the meat of our whole night, I think, is the table discussion. So we have that text number up again, but we would love for our table leaders to just walk everybody through these questions and just get to know each other a little bit.
Yep. So we're going to take about 20 minutes So we'll give you guys kind of like a 5-minute warning, but we'll just send you back to your tables. Thanks.
Thanks. Okay, everybody, I hope you guys had good table time, but we are gonna move to the panel, which is where the fun begins. So if you haven't yet, please text some questions. We can also take some during the time if someone says something that makes you think of a question. You can raise your hand. But can I have my panel come up? Thanks, guys. I'm going to move this. Look at you hopping on.
Which one?
These three. Oh, yeah. Here. Okay. There's Gina. Oh, that's smart.
Hello. Hello.
Works. I'm going to let you start with it. Okay. This is our beautiful panel. If you guys will just first introduce yourself, even though everybody sees you, and just say what you do, how many kids you have.
Okay. I'm Christine Munsell. I have 4 children. That's the first family picture we took in 9 years. And I own a bookkeeping company.
Hi, y'all. My name is Lindsay Groves, and I am over here. I've got 3 girls, 8, 5, and will be 2. And I am a director of talent acquisition and operations for a consulting company called Slalom.
Hello. That is the first family picture we've had in like 10 years. And my daughter, who's in the pants and the white shirt, she's smiling. So I'm Gina Joyce. I am the mother to Emma and Kate Joyce, 18 and 15, my husband Frank, and I am a designer in the hospitality world with the largest architecture interior design firm in the world, and keeps me busy.
Woo. I love that. So as you guys can see, wide variety, so ask all the questions. Amy, do you want to give us the first question?
Okay. As a working mom juggling it all, how do you stay organized and in control of managing it all without trying to take control from God?
Y'all can just popcorn on who feels like they want to take that one.
My initial answer was you don't at the beginning when they were like, how do you juggle all the things? You just don't. I think the biggest thing for me and what Meg and Dana talked about is that, you know, kind of revisiting your decision every year of what is working look like for you. JP did like, and y'all have probably seen this analogy of the cup and you've got all these things, right? You've got big rocks and then you've got sand, and sand's like all these other little things going on. And if you put the sand in first and then you try to put the big rocks in, the important things, God, your family, your husband, right, your kids, it doesn't fit. Where if you do the opposite, you put in the big rocks first and then you fill the sand in, they actually can fit a lot better. And so I think the biggest thing for us has been just revisiting what does life look like? What do we need to say no to? And we probably say no a lot more, especially as the kids have gotten older, just to make sure that we are putting the Lord first and putting our family first.
Lists, lots of lists, and lists within lists. Same thing that Lindsay was saying. Essentially for us, when they are under 8 years old, well, all the time you have control to say no. But when they're young and elementary, you have the power to say no. And you should get used to using the word no, because there has to be some sanity, some balance. For instance, last weekend was chock-full, And this weekend, I was asked to do something on Sunday, and I said no, because I needed that time. So to me, it's been balance. To me, it's been key communication with my husband to tag team. But it's also, is it necessary to be involved in three sports, each child? Is it necessary that, you know, one person told me a long time ago that I was reading from a script. Why do you always have to do your chores on Saturday morning? Why do you always have to only do laundry on this day? And I thought back and I kind of took the reins and thought to myself, because that's what my mother did. And I was following what my mother was doing, and it worked for her. She didn't work. And so for me, keeping the balance and then making the list and saying no. But most of all, ladies, it ebbs and flows through the seasons of your children's as they're growing. If you can, start tonight asking God to help you be still. And sometimes I would sit there with the little bitty babies and just say, I have not a clue what to say, so I'll allow you to pray for me. And then they get older. But long of the short of it, sometimes quiet time involved them on my lap. Sometimes it involved walking with my husband. And nowadays, it's walking with my husband and leaving the kids at the house so I can concentrate.
I love that. And I also just love what you said, Gina, just not comparing, whether it's our moms or our friends or your, you know, community group, whatever, because everybody's going to look different. And even in yourselves, like, organized will look very different because we will care about different things. So I love that. Do you want to do another question, Amy?
Sure. Do you ever feel you have to justify being a working mom to others, either at Watermark or in Christian circles? And how do you have that conversation well? Maybe just two of y'all could answer that. That's a great question.
You're ready, Christine.
No.
Yeah.
I actually like to let people know that I'm a working mom because I feel like it is setting an example for my children. And I was telling my table, I like people to know that I'm smart. And I believe that non-working moms are smart. Don't hear that.
Good caveat.
But I did feel pressure when I had little children to justify working. Like, I have to work because my husband's a musician. I knew when I married him, it was like feast or famine. And so when we had little kids and he was in the music industry, it was famine. And so I had to work, and I felt like I had to say that. Well, I have to work because my husband's a musician. And then one day I had somebody tell me, like, you shouldn't be working, you're a mom. And it bothered me. And I was like, no, I'm working because I actually like to work. And it doesn't matter if my husband doesn't need me to work or needs me to work. I'm working because I want to work. And then I had like a ton of confidence saying that. And now I tell people all the time, I work full time and I have four kids and I'm on the PTA. I tell people I work all the time.
Yeah.
I would say my answer is very different. So hopefully that like rubbed off on me. We talked about this a little bit at the table, but I typically downplay my job and what I do. I think only like probably very close either community group members or friends at Watermark probably understand the extent of my job. And I really struggled when I first started working and I had my first of juggling it and going back to work. And initially it was because of finances, and then slowly that changed, and then it became, I really feel called here, and I feel like the Lord has me in this place for a reason, and just found a lot of just peace in that the Lord had me there for a season. So I definitely feel that way.
recovering from guilt, and I used to feel guilty for being a mom, but not guilty because I'm a creative and an Enneagram number 4. And so if I did not work, I would have so many projects at my house. I would be pulling paint. I would be changing carpet. I would be redressing my daughter before she went out the door for school for the third time. I have an insatiable appetite for creativity, and it is a wonderful, wonderful outlet. I, too, have been in different seasons where my husband decided to leave his job after many, many years, and we were pursuing to get a double knee replacement. And I married an older guy, and he had to do both knees at the same time, so he was out, and then COVID hit, and so I have taken my turn in being the sole provider. And so in God's biggest plan, you can see how the two of us knitted together, complement each other in that way. But I'm a people pleaser, so that's where my guilt came. When I came to Watermark in 09, and somebody would say, "Are you a stay-at-home mom?" And I'm thinking, No, I have to. I have a plan from A to B, and these are all the way the puzzle pieces go. But there's seasons. Like 2008, 9, 10, the market crashed. Half of the design companies and employees were laid off. And so I was a stay-at-home mom. Again, lots of different projects. And then during COVID, I was telling my table, my junior high always wanted me to be a stay-at-home mom. And I said, "Look, I'm a stay-at-home mom now. And you need to be at the dining room table because I'm also teaching you school." You know, I wasn't. She was online. But basically, it had everything came together nicely, like peanut butter and jelly.
Peanut butter and jelly. I love that.
Okay, that would be a great, there's a lot of questions, and you were just speaking about your husband and your relationship with him, and there's quite a few questions here about how to prioritize time with your husband in the midst of a busy season, and the second part category of questions about marriage would be, how do you not grow resentful toward your husband when you feel like you have more on your plate than they do?
I can answer the second question about not growing resentful. So my husband's a musician, and he is so very talented and very handsome, so that helps. But there were several years when he didn't work and he didn't make any money. But we had conversations constantly, and I always let him know how I felt, because my best friend's a counselor, so I would ask her, like I would kind of vent to her. When we were living in Nashville, and it was in 2008 when everything was just terrible, and she asked me, like, "Have you talked to Chris about this?" I'm like, "Well, no, he's supposed to read my mind." And she's like, "You have to talk to him." So it was really uncomfortable. And I just said, "Hey, I need you to just find another job right now. Like, we're drowning. I need you to find another job." And he did. And then so that was 2008. And then we've just always had a very open communication about our expectations of each other and our work and our finances. If I ever held any of it in, I would just resent him. And so we had the conversation of, "Hey, we're gonna always be open and honest with each other about how we're feeling about, am I working too much? Are you working too much? Are you not working or not enough? Do you need to get a second job while you're not working?" And if we didn't have that like really hard time in 2008 and 2009, I don't think that it would be such a lovely balance that we have now and the communication that we have now. But it is just really, really important. As uncomfortable as, I mean, it is so uncomfortable telling your husband, I think you're so talented, but you aren't getting anywhere right now. I need you to work at Starbucks. Like, that sucked. But it just opened the door for our relationship to always be open and have just great communication about everything. But it was really hard at first. Hear that. It was really, really hard and uncomfortable. But now it's just like, hey, we have to have an uncomfortable conversation again. I never do it when it can be a defensive conversation. Like, I'm never attacking him. And it's never in the moment, right? It's always, I've thought about it. And if I talk to him and he's not ready to hear, he'll say, I need a minute. Or however that works. But you have to be open and communicate when it's uncomfortable.
So Frank was 43 and I was 37 when we met and got married and instantly had a baby, premature, math works, and he thought getting married meant buying a new home. I decided to go from one firm to another firm thinking that I would have a better life-work balance. And we lost his mom right before the wedding. And long and the short of it, boy, we were in scrambled eggs, I'll tell you. So we found ourselves at Reengage. And we didn't know how to communicate. I had my life, you know, I was 37. He had his life. Neither one of us have ever been married before. And the good thing was is that we loved each other. And so after about 5 or 6 years of total torture to each other, it was a loving marriage. There was just no communication. And long of the short of it, you know, the rubber hit the road. And it was some tough conversations. These were not conversations that had to do with employment or... It was basically, again, I'm reading from a script from my mother. He's reading a script from his mother. And finding the script that's best for you and your husband and your family and your children. So then fast forward to the 08, 09. And we kept, one was in kindergarten and the other one was at home. Well, was supposed to be at home, but we kept putting her into daycare. Fast forward, tons of debt because we were in denial that I was going to find a job that fast. He was still employed. Fast forward, he was needing to do the bilateral knee replacement. And long of the short of it, communication. Communication is key in any relationship. What causes quarrels amongst us? The selfish desires of our heart. We were independently living in our own little cyclones, feeding our own pride and our own wants and wishes. And now we look back after 19 years of marriage and think, wow, that onion went deep. You just peel the onion back and it got ugly. But I am so glad, like you're saying, that the horrible, hard conversation of, these are my dreams, these are my wishes, and then he gets a turn, and then somehow it all kind of comes together, but it's patiently listening to each other, and sometimes putting your dreams on hold, or you get to rush them to the front because he's supportive of what you guys need to do in your household. I didn't hear the second question, but I think I answered the first one.
That's good. Yeah. And I think, again, the theme of it's a season, you know, like with your kids, with your relationships, it's a season. What was the first question, though, was how you prioritize your spouse? We kind of answered that.
You hit on all of them. That was awesome.
Okay, good.
Thank you. And y'all keep sending the questions in. These are great. The next question, the bucket really is about spending time daily in the Word. And the question is, how has your time with God looked in different seasons with your kids at different ages?
Yeah, so it's changed, definitely, with younger kids and work, right? Like, that's always hard to juggle. For me, it used to be at night, like, I would do it leisurely when I did not have kids. Now, having kids, I find time. I actually get up in the morning, get them ready, go drop them off at school, and I actually do my quiet time in my car as I'm, like, right about before I go into work. So I would just encourage you to find whatever time works best for you. It looks different for everyone. And sometimes that looks like listening to podcasts, and sometimes that looks like song and worship, and sometimes that looks like going through Join the Journey. And so would encourage you to find whatever works best for you.
I have never been a quiet time person. It was never an example that I saw in my family. And so when I was told that you have to do a quiet time at 6 o'clock every morning, I was like, that's not going to happen. And so my oldest is 13, my youngest is 7. And I felt like really convicted that I wanted to model to my children what reading the Bible looks like at home. And I don't do it every day. Because literally some days I'm like, oh my gosh, it's 10 o'clock at night. Like, have I breathed? We have a Bible on our coffee table, and I'll just pick it up and start reading. And sometimes I do the flip through the, you know, where do I want to land today? But I try, like, I just did it because I wanted to model that for my children, that you can pick up a Bible and read whenever. It doesn't have to be at 6 in the morning. It doesn't have to be at a Bible study. I don't like Bible studies because I don't like sharing my feelings with, like, deep feelings with strangers. It, like, made me uncomfortable because I didn't become a believer until I was 25. So it just really made me uncomfortable to be vulnerable in front of strangers. So I listen to podcasts, and then I just have my Bible out on the coffee table and pick it up. So it's very unconventional. But it's what works for me.
It's good.
I agree with them. Do it when it's best for you. It ebbs and flows in the different seasons where you are in your life right now. I get up early. I doze in and out, have my coffee, and then I'm ready to dive into God's Word. And I am the kind of person that needs a little bit of structure, so I'm a huge Charles Stanley fan, and so I love his small one and then his longer one. And but most of all, the last parting word on that would be when you are sitting there reading, I noticed one time my daughter mimicking me. I'm like, what are you doing? And she's pretending that she's on the phone. I'm reading my Bible. Oh, no, 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 no. Get the real one out. Spread it out. Have some paper. And if you have littles, show them that you were in the book so that they know when they look at you, you are in the Bible. You can mark it up. You can write your notes and the thing. And what I have learned since the girls are older now they're fighting over who gets mom's Bible when I die. So it was just something that really hit me.
It's the dream, yeah.
And my husband is constantly scrolling in his Bible app, and they think that he's not on Facebook. You know what I mean? So get the Bible out, you know. Get so chock full, you'll have two. If you have four kids, well, good luck, but
I guess we're out on that one. Yeah. That's good.
Okay, Dana, I think we have just a couple more minutes. And so a lot of questions about just daily schedules. So maybe just a quick tip or trick on your daily calendar, how to get it all done. We know you all have great tips with that.
Yeah, maybe your best tip.
Say no to things. Like, that's my big thing right now. It's just being okay with saying no and prioritizing the right things.
I have a giant whiteboard, like not this big, but pretty close. And it is on in our playroom. And I have every single detail of our day on this calendar. And when things come up, I'm like, kids, when is this time? Like, we don't have time for this. I have a giant whiteboard, and I love it, and I love erasing it, and I love marking through it. Giant whiteboard.
So, quick tidbit is, even if they're little, even if they're not even talking yet, talk to them. Tell them, we're getting ready to go to the grocery store. We're getting ready to put mommy's outfit together. We're going to walk out. We're all going to school. We're all going to work, whatever it is. Talk to your kids. I soon found out in the last 6 months that my Enneagram 5 needed facts. She was getting in trouble all the time because we were just whisking them into the car and she would throw a fit. So that's one of my tidbits. The other thing, the whiteboard. Having the calendar up so everybody can see and everybody gets a color, and then saying no, and then the last part is don't forget about you. Don't forget about time for you. Not at the end of the day, not at the beginning of the day. Find time for you to restore yourself, be still, hear God, allow him to tell you so that you're not missing opportunities with whomever's around you, kid or adult.
Yeah, that's a good one. Just to add to that, I be honest with your mess with people because they will be like, oh, thank God she's human also. I love reading and people are always like, how do you have time to do that? I'm like, I have a huge laundry pile that's always there. If my kids need something, I'm like, go look in the clean pile. Because, like, I mean, obviously we need to do laundry better, but it's not, like, just be real. I'm like, oh, my house is a mess. Like, I may do this or this, but my house is a mess. Like, it's not, you can't do it all. And I just think it blesses people. Because when I meet people like that, I'm like, oh, you're my people. Because we're humans, and we're not afraid to tell people about it. So, yeah, this is great. Oh, yeah.
Find a mentor mom. I don't know, I'll probably say like 50% of you, maybe 25%, Millie Hale. She is my self-proclaimed mentor mom. Find someone who will speak God's truth into your heart and mind to guide you through this season as a wife, as a mother, as a human being. It was big for me.
Well, thank you guys so much for coming and engaging and hanging out with us tonight. Just to wrap up, we are going to do a summer survival guide. I don't know how you all feel about summer as a working mom, but I tend to loathe it. So every year I'm like, I'm going to do this better. I'm not going to hate summer so much. So we're going to come out with some things on that. So make sure that if you did not register online, that you fill out the sheet in the back for us to have your email. We're also going to have a fall event with The Nest, so be on the lookout for that. Join our Facebook if you have not already, Working Moms at Watermark. We also have an email, woven@watermark.org. And then just some resources that we'll also share on our Facebook page. We have been on the Collective podcast 3 times. And it is the most listened to of the Collective podcast. Just want to tell you all that. So that's pretty fun. And then Don't Mom Alone. This is a podcast we tell people all the time. Is your family thriving? It's lots of the principles from our decision-making guide that we shared.